First, you must take some wine. Can you describe it?
It's a nice red wine.
I think you can do better.
A bold wine with a hint of sophistication and lacking in pretension. Actually, I was just talking about myself.
You are not wrong. Wine is like people. The vine takes all the influences and life all around it. It absorbs them and it gets its personality.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Everyone's entitled to a little confusion in their lives. I practically thrive on it.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask. That's what we are here for. We are your media resource for everything about our favorite round, a little bit overweight, probably a little tired grape.
You just described me.
You are not even remotely overweight, and I've already given you your entertainment factor for the day.
I saw you in there bouncing up and down. What's that about?
Well, see, for our listeners, I don't have my own personal studio by any stretch of the imagination I have to share. And I will go ahead and say that of everybody I share a studio with, I tend to be the most diminutive. So I am often, when I try and get on mic or when I try and get into my chair, they're either all the way to the floor, the mic's all the way to the ceiling, and I don't really pay attention to it until I sit down, try and pull myself up to the mic.
Oh, was your chair off a little bit? Was it something wrong with it?
Well, once I sat down into it, it kind of went to the floor.
Oh.
So that's why I was bouncing up and down trying to make the chair stay in one place, because I really didn't feel like doing the show standing all day.
Don't blame you.
So that was our entertainment value. Yes, for our listeners, I know you're anxiously awaiting the day that we're going to video all of The Wine Crush and you get to watch this as well as listen to it. Then you too can be as entertained as everybody else around here.
That day is coming soon.
I hear rumors.
We're buying the gear right now. It's coming up.
I have said for years I have a face for radio, so I'm not really looking forward to these days. However, we will absolutely burn that bridge when we come to it. But actually, Kent, thank you for that wonderful springboard, because it brings to mind the whole idea of what today's show is about. Think about it. I want you to go back, for those of you who are closer to my age, think about the golden age of radio. Think about when there was a time when that was the only manner of communicating. Think about the olden days. Going backwards. And then I want you to go ahead and, as we've discussed in the last shows, about finding wine apps and our communications, and if you go somewhere with Foursquare, they can tell you immediately where they have Chardonnay by the glass at a cheap price. Think about where we are today. Think about how communication has branched itself. So it seems that no matter what, whether we're looking at the golden age of radio, or we're looking at social media and Foursquare, knowing that I'm about to drink before I even think I'm going to, the wine business always seems to be moving forwards and moving backs. There's always something old, there's always something new, and the two, especially in the wine business, continue to try and coexist with each other, blend with each other, however you want to look at it. So that's where we're going to go today. We're going to look at the best of some of the new. We're going to look at some of the old. Ironically enough, we have it will be a great show today. Richard Ella, the man behind the Quarterly Review of Wines, is joining us, and The idea of him joining us is the Quarterly Review of Wines that has been published for 35 years is going to cease its production. So we're going to have a conversation with Richard about how it was when he started the Quarterly Review and what has prompted him to go ahead and get out of the business now.
Yeah, so this is very interesting, because I had this very argument on my radio show this morning.
Did you now?
Yeah, we're talking about mainly technology and just how things have changed in general. And as it was compared to like 40, 50 years ago. And it's kind of an interesting question. If you could be in the wine business 50 years ago, you might have been. But as opposed to now, which would you rather do, today or back in the old days?
It would absolutely have to be today to be in the wine business, simply because there's so much more out there. It's so much more exciting. And if you really think about it, 50 years ago, I think we were still, no, that was just you. I was going to say 50 years ago, we were still in Prohibition. Ha ha.
Oh, very funny.
No, but ultimately there's so much more open. There's so much more exciting. And there are not those big Berlin-esque walls to knock down for people to access wine. But I see your point on it. Now, I take it from the radio side of things. Would I rather be in radio today or 40 or 50 years ago? And it seems to me that 40 or 50 years ago, there was much more to it. There was more exciting. There was more drama. There was more glamour. It was much more put together. So it, no matter how you look at it, you move forward, you move back, and everything has to combine at a certain point to keep people interested.
But you, that's right. You use the resources you have at that given day to make it either good or not. Now, was there more wine a long time ago? Was there?
No, not 50 years ago. There wasn't.
I don't see how there could have been.
50 years ago, there was not the access there is now. 200 years ago, there was definitely more wine in the United States than there is now.
200 years ago?
200 years
really?
Ago. Really? Yes. But right now, this is the golden age. There's wine everywhere. And of all types from around the world. And how much of it, as long as you and I are just going to get off on this this conversation, we might as well get our listeners involved. Here's the question for the listeners. When we're discussing the idea of the best of the old and the best of the new, how much of a factor, and don't overload the phone lines. I want you to think about the question. We all know the easy answer to this. But how much of that is because of the internet? Yes, of course, we have accessibility. We can find all these wines. We can find all the information about wines. But ultimately, when you start plumbing the depths of the internet, would we have the wine business that we do today if all of a sudden you couldn't read about Malbecs in Argentina or you couldn't read about Moscato coming from Italy? Would we really have the monstrous, amazing choices that we have before us today? And so that's why I really want to look at this, the best of the old, the best of the new, put them both together. And as we watch the new overshadow the old, is it something that we're going to see come full shadow, full circle? Is it going to come back around again? Everything old is new again. There's just no two ways about it. Like Kent was talking about the radio and discussing how he was talking about that this morning. I don't think we've seen the end of radio. I don't think we've seen the end of printed magazines. I don't think we've seen the end of some of these grandiose, beautiful vineyards out in California. But on the same token, you always have to make room for the new generation. And no matter how that is perceived, whether it's new wines, whether it's new people, new personalities, new technologies, new ways of transmitting, I'm still convinced that my grandchildren are going to have some kind of probe in their head that they aren't going to have to carry around computers, they aren't going to have to carry around iPads or lose their cell phones or anything else. It's all just going to be downloaded right there. We aren't going to have to touch anything again.
I'm pretty convinced you've actually got a probe in your head right now.
I have okay. An idea of where I'd like to put
Thank
one on you.
Thank you very much, folks. I'll be back
yes.
later.
All right. That is my segue. Speaking of old and new, let's do our wine recommendations before I get too far off track. But I have definitely balanced our theme today with our wine recommendations. This to me is a great, great concept, and I'm seeing more and more wine corporations do this. There is a brand new line of wines out there called the Seeker Wine, and you can actually find these wines at theseekerwines.com. I'm going to try and find somebody to get on the show and explain this. But as we start getting wine companies that are truly becoming global, you find that they have access to a whole bunch of different juice around the world. We're no longer limited to Napa or California or Northern California, the United States. They can pull from the best of everything. And that is what this new line of wines is doing. The Seeker Wine is going around the world and looking at vineyards and looking at sites and pulling the best varietals from the best sites for the best value price point. Now, the wine I'm going to recommend from the Seeker today is a Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. And I'll get to the description and discuss that wine in a second. But when you think of this brand as a whole, you have the Seeker Cabernet. It's coming from Chile. You have the Chardonnay from California. You have Pinot Noir from France. You have Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. And you've got Malbec from Argentina. Now, immediately when I'm saying all these varietals and everything else, you know Malbec. Absolutely, probably the best in the world is coming out of Argentina. Cabernet's up-and-coming place for inexpensive, value-conscious Cabernet is definitely Chile. We don't need to talk about New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs anymore. And, of course, as much as I hate to admit it, France has pretty much had the Pinot Noir world covered since Burgundy was planted, 400 years ago. So you have a company that's really willing to put themselves on the line to bring us the best everyone has to offer. So I like this idea, so much so that getting to the point, my wine recommendation for the white this week is the Seeker Sauvignon Blanc. This is out of New Zealand. For those of you who really, really like that New Zealand style, you know, the big pink grapefruit, the great acidity, the great bursting fruit flavor profile, easy for me to say, this is great. And, of course, it's done all in stainless steel, so there's no oak to it. There's nothing overwhelming. You just get the terroir and you get the grape. What I do like about this, and I'm not going to get over the top and I'm not going to go back this, all of us at some point in our life, life who have been in the wine business or been around wine long enough has a story about Sauvignon Blanc where you quit drinking it because you got tired of drinking what smelled like your yard. This Sauvignon Blanc, however, does reach back and have a little bit of that grass flavor to it, which is really, really neat. If it's not overwhelming in the glass, you put that grass, you put a little pink grapefruit, and you put some nectarine together. This thing is outstanding. So The Seeker, coming soon to a place near you. Please seek out the Sauvignon Blanc and actually check out the website, because what they're also doing is on each bottle of this wine, they have a different character. Now, somehow, I know that there's going to wind up some kind of character contest. Who likes what character and creating characters? Okay, fine. We'll get past the social media part of that. But it is neat to know each bottle has its own personality, both under the cork and outside the cork. Now, since that is my new advocate for today, that's where we're going, I had to go back and think about the old. And I had to think about the old that really should never, ever, ever go away. It should 200 years from now. I hope this wine is still gracing shelves, restaurant lists, everywhere else. Spring Mountain Vineyard. Now, Spring Mountain, obviously, let's guess, it's on Spring Mountain. But ultimately, what's great about this, it's a combination of three vineyards that have been planted basically since the early 1800s. But what I love the best is when you go back and you think of history and you think of Napa Valley, you think of St. Helena, you think of this area. The vineyard, one of the vineyards that Spring Mountain has is actually the original vineyard that the Beringer brothers placed, Frederick and Jacob. So I think they planted this in 1882, and this vineyard is still there, and it's still luscious and producing. Granted, the vines might not be the same vines, but this aspect, this slope, the way these vines are cut in is absolutely spectacular. Now, they do a Syrah. I've had a lot of flack lately because I've been on a Cabernet kick or Pinot Noir, and I haven't exactly gone out of my comfort zone on this. Syrah, to me, coming from California, from Cabernet vineyards, I think of Araujo, I think of some of the best wines I've ever had in my life. Definitely, definitely, this Syrah falls in those categories. This Syrah is just so dense. It is spicy. It has chocolate. It has that wonderful cherry flavor you have. But what I love about this isn't one of your Rhone-style Syrahs. This thing is California through and through, real thick, great mouthfeel, absolutely outstanding. So Spring Mountain, their Syrah, absolutely something you have to track down, particularly those of you who like the wines that are age-worthy, so that you can go ahead and revisit the old later. This is a Syrah that will probably be hanging around with us till 2020 at least. We're going to take a small break here on The Crush, but when we return, I will have more of your questions, more of your emails, and of course, more of my pontificating to continue this day.
Check out winecrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
What's your gym membership costing you? Do you even use it anymore? If you're looking to save some money and still stay in great shape, then here's a great offer from Total Gym. I have one. I use it every day. It's easy to set up. There's no weights to move around. I work out in 15 minutes a day, and I stay in great shape. And the best part is I don't have to leave my home to get a full intensive workout. So my friends at Total Gym want to make it real easy for you to get started. Pick up your cell phone right now and you can try Total Gym risk-free for 30 days for just $49.95, and shipping is free. Save yourself some money while you stay in great shape. Ditch your gym membership. Order a Total Gym risk-free. You don't like it? Return it in 30 days. Call 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169.
Is the IRS knocking on your door for back taxes? Are you being threatened with bank levies or wage garnishments? Let us negotiate with the IRS for you. It's a lot easier. We deal with the IRS every day, so you don't have to. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, or you haven't filed in a while, pick up your cell phone and call now for free information. We have experts standing by right now who know the tax codes and know the secrets to settle your back taxes for less, if you qualify. We'll explain to you how we may be able to settle your taxes for less than what you currently owe. So call today for your free evaluation. Remember our motto: if you can't pay your back taxes, call now. See if you can pay less. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, call Alpha Tax now for free advice on how you can pay less.
800-961-3631, 800-961-3631, 800-961-3631, 800-961-3631.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad.
Weird. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we are looking at the wine business out of the perspective of something old, something new, putting both of them together and see what we wind up with. Now, of course, that gives me another great segue into one of the neatest stories I have heard and seen in the wine business in forever. Now, this comes from Decanter Magazine. It was an open letter to Decanter, and I hope it's not a farce because it just kind of drives things home. A gentleman, his name was Tim Woodall, I believe, was digging in his garden in Saffron Walden, Suffolk. And as he's digging in his garden and getting ready for planting his flowers, he looks down and he finds something that looks, well, a lot like a bomb. And ultimately, as he kept studying it, he realized that it probably was indeed an unexploded mortar from World War II. So he had enough sense, unlike the rest of us that might have kicked it around a little bit. He called a bomb squad. Bomb squad came out, and it indeed was an unexploded mortar. So the bomb squad decided, we're going to set off a very controlled explosion. And so, well, it's a great way to get your garden tilled. They went ahead and they detonated the bomb. Well, it had a little more impact than they thought it would, and when it blew, it revealed a bomb shelter that was actually under his garden. In the bomb shelter were full racks of wines, and the wines ranged from anywhere from 1921 to 1937.
Ooh.
Mostly, they were almost from the 30s. They were all French, and it was just fascinating to be able to go down there, things that had most likely been untouched since at least 1940, and to go through and look at the wines and really think this is outstanding. Now, of course, the glory was very, very short-lived. Because as the bomb squad crawled down into the bomb shelter to look at all the wines and check everything out, they discovered two more unexploded mortars that were, at that point, now that open to air and to the atmosphere, were deemed unstable. So essentially, they only had about 20 minutes to cherish the fact of all the wines that were down in the bomb shelter before they had to explode the other two mortars, thus taking care of the hidden stash of wine. Now, that story to me is just very, very poignant. You look back and you never know what lays undiscovered. And that should hold true whether we're discussing the past or discussing the future. When you look back to the past, what have we missed? Did we miss something when we're reading our wine critics? Did we miss something when we were tasting through wines? Did we miss something when we just summarily decided, oh, I'm not going to drink Moscato? On the future, as we look ahead at it from a future perspective, what are we missing? What have we not done? In the simple case of actually finding this cache of wines here in the future, did we miss the opportunity to go back, sample these wines, and see how true to form they were, to see if we're really getting that off track when we start manipulating wines and perhaps using mechanizations that change them? In the future, when we look at it from that perspective, did we forget to really appreciate those great vintages? Did we not go ahead and buy when we should have? Or on the same token, did we not go ahead and open that bottle that we were saving for a special occasion? So I think that, to me, it just really brings home the whole circle of old and new, is to have this, to have it been under your feet the whole time, and just to have a brief moment to appreciate it. So I figured I needed to share that story with you. I really, really hope that winds up being a true story. Now, see, if I was this guy's neighbor and I had seen all that, do you not think I would be out in my backyard with a shovel digging things up to see if I, too, had my own bomb shelter full of wine? Now, of course, the way my luck usually works, I'd just find a shelter and wind up getting bombed, but that's neither here nor there. It just works. Okay.
They didn't find out who the guy, I mean, whose collection this was? Nothing? They know nothing?
I'm sure there's going to be some additional research that goes into this. But obviously, I think everyone, it's that great moment of great elation. My God, look at what we found. This is outstanding. Can we study it? All of a sudden followed immediately by that great sense of desolation. Did I really just have to blow this up?
Mm-hmm.
So, your moment is a little bit more glorified having lived it, but still, I hope you don't live with a sense of loss. So looking at old and looking at new, I'm very much looking forward to introducing our guest. He's coming up at the top of the next segment. Once again, we're going to have Mr. Richard Ella. He'll be at the Quarterly Review of Wines. And while we're taking this small break here on The Crush, take a moment, if you're those of you that are close to your iPhone, your iPad, I don't know, your computer or the probe that sticks out of your head, and look up the Quarterly Review of Wines and see what a great history and what a great run it's had. And we will definitely be bringing that to the top of the mark after this small break.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 1-800-489-1639 because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free, get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 1-800-489-1639. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Call 1-800-489-1639. 1-800-489-1639. That's 1-800-489-1639.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a million-year-old beach? between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush. And it actually is a great honor to me to introduce Mr. Richard Ella of the Quarterly Review of Wines. This is a magazine that's been around. Basically, it was iconic when I started the business. And of course, it's going to be very fascinating to talk to Richard about wine's decline. Richard, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Welcome.
It is.
That is Elia, by the way, not Ella.
I apologize.
No problem.
I do apologize sincerely. With my southern accent, there are some debates of whether or not I speak English to begin with.
Fine. Thanks.
Now, Quarterly Review of Wines, when I started in the wine business, it was always one of those magazines I looked at and I thought, one day, if I am fortunate enough, I would actually understand everything that was written in this magazine and at some point be able to actually write for the magazine to have such a grasp on wines. It was always something that motivated me. It was something that guided me and inspired me. So after 35 years of the Quarterly Review of Wines, what was the final kick point? What was the final reason of quitting to produce this great magazine?
Well, I think that there were a bunch of them really. Basically, we were getting tired, 35-plus years. And we were also getting tired of the tired economic condition that was out there, because, after all, magazine depends on advertising, and that was beginning to dry up. We didn't see it all that much, but we just saw down the road that it wasn't going to be bright, and you didn't exactly need tea leaves to figure that out. And then on top of that, what really, I think, things became very difficult even to have sufficient tastings. We would do these annual best of best tastings in California, for example. And then Massachusetts being one of the difficult states to make wine deliveries, we couldn't quite get the wines that we wanted to get. And if we tried to buy them, the latest vintages weren't always out there, which is what we advertised we would be tasting. So it just became very hectic. And then finally, I just really felt that and this is really a pet peeve of mine, that I thought that the romance of wine, the very thing that got me into doing the magazine, I thought was beginning to fade. We were becoming much too commercial, and we were becoming really hoisted by the petards of our own wine success.
What, for the very fact that wine was getting more out into the public, it was more accessible, yes, it was hurting?
Which, of course, in itself is excellent. After all, it's what we wanted. But it's all of the ancillary things that sort of came along with it. You know, and I thought a whole bunch of what I call American kitsch came into the situation. We're having leopard skin bags, and we're more concerned now with electronic devices in reference to wine and aerators and all that. And I just, you know, I always thought that that was going to ultimately destroy wine. And the chief culprit that destroyed wine in terms of its romance, which is really my kick, was the fact that Nembus was so splendidly successful. And we did not do Nembus at our magazine. We were the only wine magazine that did absolutely not do a numerical rating of wine. And that's really what the public wanted. And we didn't want to give it to them, and we resisted for 35 plus years. And so finally it all just sort of came to pass that it's about time to pack it in, and pack it in we did.
We all have those moments where you look back on and say, okay, I have fought the good fight, this is the end of it. But you obviously still have a great voice. I do want to start right here for our listeners. Define for me and for our listeners what your concept of the romance of wine is.
Well, the romance of wine is that we're able to keep the civility of wine, to keep the idea of it as a pleasurable table experience. And again, Robert Mondavi always insisted on wine's civilizing factor, and that it was, you know, a kind of gentle experience and expression of family, of the vineyard, of the growth of the wine, of the very winemaker. And I think we lost all that from a variety of reasons. I think that one of the reasons is that the wine world, in its success, became more corporate than it did. We suddenly became more concerned with cases sold. We suddenly became more concerned with vice presidents of finance than we did with terroir, vineyard, and the winemaker, what I call purple hands. Purple hands begin to be not as important as the corporate success.
Well, ultimately, though, when you're looking for cases sold and you're looking for those CFOs, didn't those generate out of the fact that a lot of people who were getting the purple hands, who were out in the vineyards, couldn't make a living at it?
There's no question to that. That was part of the romance, that these people had to start selling and the corporate world started buying. So yeah, I'm not blaming the corporate world. You asked me what were, you know, the results of what prompted the demise of it and of my idea of the romance, and that's how I see it. But yeah, they could not make it. There's no question to it. I mean, you and I, for example, I'm sure know Ed Sprager, and Ed's got a family vineyard, and I have no doubt that he's one of the few that are out there that are surviving, like the Camuses and the Schaefers and a few of the other ones that have been around for years. But the others had to be bought up, and indeed, they were bought up. And I think that in losing yet another purple hand, we lose the romance. When a person goes into a restaurant and his or her idea of buying a wine is to go onto the iPhone, check what the numerical rating was, and buy it for that very reason, loses to me the romance of it. If you wanted the lonely digital romance, just open up your iPhone. If you want a real civilizing factor, open the wine, taste it, start talking about it. And people just don't do that nearly as much. It's become a very successful marketing tool. People drink, and I think in the warmth of the whole thing, it's being lost. That's my idea of the romance of wine.
I do understand definitely where you're coming from. There is something, and I have said this for all my years in the business, it is not as much as the marketers think it is. It is not the package. It is not the book that sells. It's not the cover that sells the book. It's not the label. To me, it's always been the story. And you bring up Ed Sabraja. Obviously, Ed has an amazing story with his son Adam still involved, with Gina involved, everybody else, and the stories he can tell and the legacy he builds. But I think ultimately you found a lot of people who started the family wineries in the 80s. They went through the 90s. You know, they had that moment of heyday, and then all of a sudden they look around, they realize, because whether they wanted too many cases or they just bit off more than they could chew, they had to sell out. And I hate the fact that the progression of their stories won't continue, but it doesn't mean that the love and the passion's not still in the bottle. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, I do agree with that. I do. I really am uncomfortable with, not anything that you've just said, I'm just uncomfortable with the whole marketing of it. And I just think the moment I start talking to people who make wine and the corporate world is interested in blending it with alcohol, with liquor, I mean, I want to grab my coat and run for my life.
Yeah, that's the point we all need to run. Hey, Richard, speaking of running, I do need to take a quick break right here. Do you mind hanging out while we get through a couple commercials, a little advertising, and we'll pick this back up?
Okay.
All right. Hey, quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we'll have more of Richard Elia with the Quarterly Review of Wines.
Visit winecrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is The Wine Crush.
What's your gym membership costing you? Do you even use it anymore? If you're looking to save some money and still stay in great shape, then here's a great offer from Total Gym. I have one. I use it every day. It's easy to set up. There's no weights to move around. I work out in 15 minutes a day, and I stay in great shape. And the best part is I don't have to leave my home to get a full intensive workout. So my friends at Total Gym want to make it real easy for you to get started. Pick up your cell phone right now, and you can try Total Gym risk-free for 30 days for just $49.95, and shipping is free. Save yourself some money while you stay in great shape. Ditch your gym membership. Order a Total Gym risk-free. You don't like it? Return it in 30 days. Call 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169.
Z-Max Micro Lubricant, the only engine and fuel system product that makes your car or truck engine perform better. Legendary car builder Carroll Shelby is sold on Z-Max.
There's no doubt that it's the only additive that really works.
Put Z-Max in your oil and gas and reduce internal friction and harmful deposits.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, tested, trusted performance. Available at auto parts stores and at Z-Max.
NASCAR weekend at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. It all starts Friday, March 9th with Stratosphere Pole Day. See Danica March 10th in the Samstown 300. Then Sunday, March 11th, it's Dale Jr., Johnson, Gordon, and your favorite in the Sprint Cup Cobalt Pools 400. Get great seats at 800-644-4444, 800-644-4444, or select your seat at lvms.com. When NASCAR comes to Vegas, it's all about the fans at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, America's racing show place.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Good sense, ill sense, crippling mankind. I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Right Wine Crush. Right now, we are having a discussion with Mr. Richard Elia, with a quarterly review of wines, a lovely magazine that after 35 years is finally deciding to close its doors. Richard, are you still with us?
I am.
All right. This to me is just such a great, great conversation because today's theme, what we're looking at, is the old and the new and how they merge in the wine business, how they come to pass, how they work together. And as much as I do agree with you as far as the stories, as far as the purple hands, the people who get out there, I have been in the wine business, as some people will tell me, entirely too long. But with the advent of the iPhones and the internet, and granted, I have to surf through them and I have to try and figure it out, I do find something, that instant gratification. Now, I have to admit it, this whole generation, the last generation, and God knows the next five generations, they want it all, they want it now, and they want it delivered. So we all like the idea of being able to pick up something and know something immediately. Do you not think that the idea of that iPhone, of being able to pull up right now, if I pulled up Ed Sobraja, I could know his biography and know his background, does that not add to the story, and does that not add to the purple hand concept of more people
being
able
to... I don't know if it adds so much to the story, but all I can say is that the iPhone, that all that business is the future. There's no question about that. And I'm not discussing the evolution of things because things change and you have to change with them. And the iPhone is there. I just think the iPhone is an impersonal kind of experience. And I do think you can nonetheless learn more in seconds than you could by reading any wine magazine, any wine book. Just pick up your iPhone and exactly as you say, you have the information. Is it as personal? It's like holding a book. Do you want to read it off the screen, or do you want to read something in a magazine or in a book?
Oh, I have to tear up pages. I'm sorry. I break spines. I bend corners. I'll never be able to read
too.
Off the screen.
Well, you know, we're in the same school then. I quite agree. And I just think that the iPhone gives you all that information. It just doesn't give you the warmth and that real feel. It's like, you know, I want to be in libraries. It's just that simple. They're not going to exist anymore. I understand that. But as long as they're around, I want to be able to read it. It does add to the information. I don't know that it adds to the color, to the imagination, to what, you know, what I call the mythic feel. Whether it's mythic or otherwise, it makes no difference. To me, I like stories about Alexis Lachine. I like stories about Chileshchev. I understand that half of them sometimes are made up. Alexis used to sort of lie on a regular basis.
Sort of lie? He sometimes was a figment of his own imagination.
Oh, I agree. And he was wonderful. I interviewed him several times. And it didn't matter whether it was the story didn't jive. He was just a wonderful, splendid character. And talk about, he is a guy that could actually engage charm with commercialism better than anybody else I've ever met.
I don't disagree with that, but let's point out something. You and I, as much as we are, I don't know how you want to look at, slaves to the grape, slaves to the industry, we can sit back and you can remember right now the first time that you had a chance to sit down and interview Alexis Lachine. I remember the first time I sat down, whether it was Bob Foley, Ed Sobraja, Tom Mackey, Kevin Zraley. I remember all those times. Mm-hmm. 9 out of 10 people will never have that opportunity to have that warmth, to have that face-to-face, to have the chance to go one-on-one and talk with these people. So I think, honestly, if I'm looking at this, like right now, today, by the time we get done with our interview, you're going to be able to go to the Wine Crush website, you're going to be able to pull down this whole show and be able to listen to it on your iPhone. It helps people who don't necessarily have the opportunity to sit down with me and you get to know our personalities and to get to know our respective opinions better. Isn't that better than second and third hand than to be able to hear something directly?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not at all denying a thing that you've just said. All I'm saying is that is not necessarily how I would like to appreciate it.
Makes sense.
I don't want to go to my iPhone. I just don't want to do it. And everything you've said is absolutely right, and I'm not about to agree with a single syllable. I can only tell you that it's something that I don't want to have to participate in.
I get that.
I absolutely have to.
And unless you're drag kicking and screaming,
well,
I have to. I have to admit, half the time I can't find my phone. So that does pose a problem. It's the irony of I need my glasses to find my phone, but my glasses are with my phone, so I give up. All right, well, let's do get off this topic. Let's talk about you directly. What are you going to miss the most? What is Richard Elia going to miss the most not publishing a magazine?
Oh, I'm going to miss the people with whom I dealt with on a regular basis, meeting the winemakers. meeting the old timers, especially because they're not going to be around too much longer, and meeting the younger winemakers coming up, I'm going to miss that kind of enological contact very, very much. I'm also going to miss the written word, because if anyone has ever read the magazine, Quarterly Review of Wines is always sort of recommended as being a highly, quote, literate magazine. And we worked on prose. We worked on polish. And the kind of writers that we used also, worked on prose and worked on polish. And so, I'm going to miss reading Serena Sutcliffe's articles or Rosemary George's articles or Michael Broadbent's articles. And I'm going to miss talking with them, editing, arguing a point. I'm going to miss that whole experience. There's nothing about the magazine that I won't miss except talking to salespeople and advertisers.
Salespeople do tend to be rather difficult. I will give you that.
You have to deal with them. That's what this is. And I don't know how the hell I shrank. I don't know how I did it all these years.
I
won't miss.
Well, that's why you drank more. It was just fine.
And Marvin Shankin, I don't know how he does it because he owns a whole bunch of magazines. But, it's the advertising world. It's getting harder. But B, you're doing more and more. And there was a pressure for us to do advertorial. I wouldn't do advertorial. There's no way. I mean, that would just convolute everything that I've ever stood for. So more and more, that was sort of coming to bear. Well, if we look down this avenue and we start pursuing this kind of wine, it can possibly get more advertising. We didn't want to do it that way. We wanted to do it what was good, what did we think the people ought to know, and that was our first principle.
Well, Richard, the one thing I will say as we wrap this up, I think the wine business has certainly lost a great mark of integrity without the Quarterly Review of Wines, and I personally am sorry to see it go. But thank you very much for being part of The Crush today, and if you ever get, you want to discuss wines, discuss where iPhones are going, or the first day you get forced into picking one up, call us. We'll definitely have you back on the show and have some fun with it.
Thanks, Laura.
All right, take care, Richard.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take another break here on The Crush. When we return, we will wrap this show up and compare and contrast the best of the old and the new.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 1-800-489-1639 because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free, get 2 free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive, 2 free extras, and free shipping. Call 1-800-489-1639. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Call 1-800-489-1639. 1-800-489-1639. That's 1-800-489-1639.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at zmax.com.
Only Texas Motor Speedway can offer you 16 events for only $270 as a 2012 season ticket holder. You save up to 25% off ticket prices. Get 2 exclusive No Limits Garage parties, discounts on concessions and merchandise, and you can buy VIP pit passes for half price. You'll get 3 weekends of racing, including April's Samsung Mobile 500, June's Firestone Twin 275s, and November's AAA Texas 500. Go to TexasMotorSpeedway.com now.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Ah-yah!
The Karate Glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete.
Hi-yah!
Brick walls.
Hi-yah!
Trees.
Hi-yah!
small cars. It can even chomp through these eight guitars. It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Timing and his focus is what ruins and it dopes us.
This is Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush. And I want to give a special thank you to Mr. Richard Elia of the Quarterly Review of Wines. For those of you who never had the opportunity to pick up this magazine and check it out, please do make an effort. Go back through and look at it, because I will concur with Richard about a couple of points. Yes, there is a romance in wine. There is no doubt about it. But it doesn't have to be the formal, I'm going to get down on one knee, I'm going to wear a tuxedo, I'm going to bring you roses kind of romance. It should be an individual romance that everybody has. It should be something that you have your own courtship, you have your own marriage, you have your own understanding when it comes to wine. But there is a beauty in what Richard was describing with the writing for the Quarterly Review of Wines. Serena, Michael Broadwent, these are some of the founding fathers when it comes to wine commentary. And there were many a nights where you could sit down and read their stories and read their descriptions, and you could almost smell the clover in the air. You could almost taste the terroir. You could almost see the dirt. You could see the rain coming down. They actually were capable of painting a picture. Because after all, as much as we all wish we could, not all of us can afford to have these great vacations. Not all of us can have these great experiences in the vineyards. Not all of us can afford to drink these wines. So the literary concept and the integrity they had is absolutely wonderful. So I encourage you definitely to seek them out and read some of their old articles. I do think we've lost a very valuable piece. Let's face facts, we read some critics now and some reviews. 2 stars, jammy, flabby, great, drink from now until 2017. What does that really tell you? It doesn't paint the picture, and I think that's something we're going to miss. So I want to know what you thought today. Old versus new, is there a place for both in your life? 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email me directly at lauralawson.com. Definitely want to hear which camp you're in. Well, as always here on The Crush, we're reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.